My hope is that just having the seat would be helpful tonight, partly because it's warm, and partly because we're
going to use quite a lot of the Bible, so we're going to jump from place to place, but hopefully this will help you to see kind of where we are, and also give you the references, if you want to look them up later, or if you want to look them up now as well, then they'll be on the sheets for you. But let me pray, first of all, for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Psalms. Thank you for Psalm 103 that has just helped us, has spoken to our hearts, has given us reasons to praise you, has reminded us of who you are and what you're like. And we thank you for your whole word. Thank you for what you have revealed about yourself. And Father, we pray for your help this evening as we sort of grapple with some hard things, and particularly with the heat. Father, help us by your Spirit. May we hear from you. May we be helped by you. Most of all, may we be motivated to pray. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the topic tonight, this is a topical talk. We've got two this week and next week. This year we're focusing on prayer, particularly trying to encourage one another to pray more together. And so we've had lots of sort of different looks at prayer throughout the year, and this is a double header, if you like. This week, prayer and evangelism. What's the connection? How do they connect with each other? And then next week, prayer and suffering. Again, what's the connection? How do they connect with each other? So prayer and evangelism this week. We're going to look at things that are hard for us to get our heads around. Partly because we're looking at God, the character of God, the nature of God. And he ought to be hard for us to get our heads around, because he's God. The danger for us, I think, quite often is that we try and make God in our image. But the Bible says it's the other way around. God has made us in his image. And there are going to be things about God that we'll never fully understand. So I've got that verse for us just there at the beginning, from Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. It's one of those key verses in the Bible, and it's helpfully numbered so that we can remember it easily, 29:29. But look at what it says. This is Moses. He's just been teaching the people, telling them what they need to do to keep God's law, sharing with them again the covenant. They're about to head into the promised land. And he says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." Notice what he says, that there's secret things, there's things about God that we don't know. They're a mystery. But there are things about God that we do know. And here with the Israelites, Deuteronomy, he'd revealed to them a lot about his character through the law. Giving them the law, the covenant, and from that they could see a lot about who God was and what he was like. But not everything. And even for us today, we have so much more, don't we, than they had then. We've had the revelation through Jesus himself. Jesus said, if you want to see the Father, look at me. He revealed more of God to us. We see much more of God's plan of salvation. But we still don't know everything. We don't know how it all works or how it all fits together. And in particular, with two areas that we're going to home in on tonight, that the whole question of God being sovereign, in charge, in control of everything, God's sovereignty, and human responsibility, our decisions, our choices, counting. And the Bible says both are fully true. And our heads say they can't be. Surely it's one or the other. But the Bible says, no, it's both. And it's part of the element of mystery of God. How? We're not told. But the Bible teaches both. God is completely in control. And our decisions are our decisions, and they matter. And we'll be held accountable for them. is that, just reading up on it this week, was helped by this idea of we speak of God as King and Judge. Just those two titles give us clues to these two areas. God is King. Not just that he's the one sort of in charge, but he's the one in control. That's how the Bible speaks of God being King. And we have that title for him. He's King. He's in charge. He's in control. And he's Judge. He holds us accountable. What we do matters. Proverbs 21 verses 1 to 2 say this: "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." Both ideas are there. The king's heart, this powerful person, like, let's go, I don't know, Donald Trump. He has a sense of power at the moment in our world, doesn't he? And the Bible says his heart is like a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He can direct it, divert it, wherever he wants to. God's king. He's sovereign, he's in charge. And yet, verse 2, very next verse, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart, that the person is held accountable. The king is held accountable. So it's a bit of a mind bender, isn't it? That's why I got you to get some water. That's why I've put some things down on a sheet, because these things are hard in our heads. They don't add up. It doesn't make sense. But the Bible teaches both. Jesus taught both. John chapter 6, verse 35. In fact, if you've got a Bible, we're going to look at the two verses to do with what Jesus says, because I think they're helpful. John chapter 6, 35 to 40. That's page 1070. Verse 35. "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" Human responsibility. Invitation. Whoever comes. Verse 36, "But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me." God's sovereignty. "All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Human responsibility. "Whoever comes. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me." God's sovereignty. "But raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life." Human responsibility. Do you see it? It's both there. Jesus speaking. Let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11, a few pages back. Page 977 in the church Bibles. Page 977. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 27. Verse 27. "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." God's sovereignty. Verse 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." human responsibility. You see? They're both there. Our heads go, how? How does that even work? The Bible says both are true. God is completely sovereign. Humans are completely responsible. And that's true in terms of conversion and belief, which is what Jesus is speaking of here. Jesus taught this. And the Apostle Paul taught this. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8. Remember Christ Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, says Paul. Remember him. Human responsibility is an action for you to do. Listen to the good news. Respond to it. This is my gospel for which I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, the chosen, God's sovereignty, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul teaches and practices both. God is sovereign, humans are responsible. Paul perhaps most famously is used for some of those terms throughout the letters in the New Testament, calling Christians people who are called, who are elect or elected, who are predestined, who are chosen. Head through the New Testament and you see those words again and again, God's sovereignty. And yet Paul, when he was preaching, kept appealing to people, repent, turn to God, do it now. Paul in Athens, Acts chapter 17. You've got gods, you worship even an unknown god, you've got idols. And Paul says to these people in Athens, in the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Human responsibility, people in Athens. Repent. Action. So both are true. Jesus taught it. Paul taught it. God is sovereign. Humans are responsible. So where does prayer fit into this? How does prayer connect with evangelism? Well, listen to these words of in Acts, and Luke would have written this, but writing of Paul in Acts chapter 18, Paul was having a tough time in Corinth. And he was tempted to give up in terms of his ministry, his mission there. In Acts chapter 18, verse 9, we read these words. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. God revealed to Paul his sovereignty, that there were some in Corinth who would respond. I have many people in this city. Don't stop preaching. Some will turn, some will listen. God's sovereignty, human responsibility. Paul had to preach. Paul didn't know who they were, but the mere fact that God said there were some there who would respond gave him that incentive. Paul taught God's sovereignty a lot. Now you might have thought, well, Paul, you could have taken it easy, couldn't you? If God has chosen to save people, wouldn't he do that anyway? Paul, why risk your life? Take it easy. Stop off on one of those Mediterranean islands. Kick back, relax. But no, Paul held on to God's sovereignty and preached and preached and preached and risked his life that some might respond. One author I read this week describes it like plants growing. We're thinking about plants and things this morning, weren't we? God is, in his sovereignty, has said plants will grow. But for plants to grow, it takes sunshine and water. They're the tools that are used, if you like, for plants to grow. That's why in most of our gardens the grass isn't growing at the moment, because there's no water. But if you plant a seed and if you pour water on it and you shine light on it, particularly sunlight, the plant will grow. God has decided that some will believe. What's the water and the sunlight? Preaching, people hearing the gospel, and prayer, people praying for people to believe. Preaching and prayer, they're the methods that are used for people to come to faith. So Paul preached, he evangelized, he told people the gospel, and he prayed. Romans 10 verse 1. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Again, Paul, he taught God's sovereignty. He taught human responsibility. He appealed. And yet he was driven to pray. To pray that people might be saved, that people would turn and believe the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Paul prayed. He prayed for the church then in Thessalonica that God would direct their hearts into God's love. He prayed. God is sovereign. Humans are responsible, but he prayed. And he asked them to pray for him. Pray for us. That our message would spread, that people would hear the gospel, that people would have opportunity to respond. Pray. Just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll look at this one together as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's on page 1159. Paul faced much hardship and persecution. And look at what he says in verse 10. Speaking of God, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. God is sovereign. He's in charge of everything that happens. Humans are responsible for everything they do. Persecution of Paul. And yet, Paul says, pray. And as you pray, we will know God's help. You help us by your prayers, verse 11. And an outworking of that is that people will praise God as they see those prayers answered. Paul held on to God's sovereignty. He's in charge. He's king. Paul held on to human responsibility. God is judge. What we do matters. And he preached that people would hear the good news. And he prayed that people would respond to the good news. Now that's an element of mystery, isn't it? In our heads, those things don't all line up. Surely if God is sovereign, Paul didn't need to preach and he didn't need to pray. And yet he preached and he prayed more than any of us, as well as teaching that doctrine. And surely if humans are responsible and yet we know they can't save themselves, what's the point of preaching and what's the point of praying? And yet Paul preached and he prayed more than any of us. So we ought to pray, oughtn't we? And we ought to preach or evangelise, tell people the good news of Jesus. Holding on to those two facts, God is sovereign. And humans are responsible. And for people to come to faith, it takes them hearing the word. And it takes God to work. We evangelise and we pray. And we pray and we evangelise. So pray. I've lost my copy of your sheet. What did I put on the bottom? Pray. Thank you. Yeah, I've got that. Thank you. Pray. The Lord commands us to pray. Pray without ceasing, says Paul in one of his letters. Don't stop praying. God invites us to pray. It's relational, the whole aspect we've not looked at tonight. The prayer is relational. He's our Heavenly Father. He wants us to speak to him. He invites us to pray. And he motivates us to pray. And it's just something to think on. Who prayed that you might be here tonight? Not in the sense of here this evening on whatever the date is today, on Sunday evening here at Cheam Baptist Church, but here in terms of in the faith, interested in Jesus, in church on a Sunday night. Who in your past has prayed for you that you became a Christian? Some people you will know of, maybe your parents or your grandparents or a neighbour or a youth leader or a Sunday club leader. Some people you won't know of, people who prayed for an event that you went to. And they prayed that people would hear the gospel and respond. And you were there, and you did. You're here because of people's prayers. Who might be here because of your prayers? Some who are here tonight. Others in the future. And yet there's the mystery still, isn't there? God's sovereignty, human responsibility. Oh, we long that it was a slot machine, that we would pray and everyone that we love would respond. But there's an element of mystery. Some do and some don't. Some have and some haven't yet. God is sovereign. Humans are responsible. We hold on to both. Let me close our time now with these words when we began our service in Psalm 103, just going remembering this of God. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He is. May you know that to be true this week.